the precious name of Jesus Christ in this place to be our Savior. Father God, please be you leading the church. Be you speaking to the church, not me. So please remove me out of the picture. Be you taking out of my desires, flesh, mindset, anything that is related to the earth, be you removing it in the name of Jesus Christ, and be you speaking to the church. With a humble heart, we ask you, through the Holy Spirit, touch the hearts and mind, and continue talking to the people, continue transforming the people according to your will and purpose. We thank you, and we worship you, and we declare all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we are continue talking about worshipers. And today we're going to continue talking about that topic. As you guys know, we have been talking about Jehovah Nisi, which it means my banner, recognizing that God is your banner in your life and you are worshiper through that. Also, we talk about the difference between doctrine and worship. Sometimes we worship the doctrines and all the things that we're seeing in a different religious environment. We really supposed to just worship God. And we also talk about living sacrifice. We are a living sacrifice, according to Scripture, in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And also seeking or being sick. And that's where everything started this series. Because we have the hearts to seek God, and that's good. I'm not saying that's wrong. But the Scripture says in John 4, which is the Scripture of this series, John 4:19, sir, the woman say, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you, Jews, claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans, worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. That's what he's looking. Kind of a coach that is looking for that talent, that person that is going to be joining the team. So the same type of concept. He's looking, he's seeking who is the true worshiper. But that true worship, according to Scripture, is the person or the people that is worshiping in spirit and truth. And those items, we talk about those and went through the Scripture, and I believe it was a great blessing. And we're going to continue talking to that topic today, and it's something that God ministered in my life during this week. I'm going to correlate some things about work here. So hang tight over there, or hold tight over there. I know some things at work that is happening that sometimes we can correlate it to the spiritual life, but mainly, if you guys know, everything in your life is kind of a spiritual. Every exposure that you have, anyways, is work, is family, it can be a friend, it can be a wife, it can be kids, everything is kind of related. God is doing something with purpose, with some correlation with him, relationship with him, so that way we can build that and be transformed according to his will. And during this week, I have a visit from my new boss, as you, some of you guys know. And during that visit, I learned some things from them, but also I learned a principle that Steve Jobs performed in his life. And it is that when the people ask you a question, most likely to be proactive in answering the question correctly, the people take 18 seconds. And I know, because mainly when you are in the type of work of environment, some people maybe think like, I'm waiting for your answer. What are you doing? You're taking forever to respond me. And kind of relay that like, he don't know the answer. He don't know, he don't have knowledge of that. He's not smart or anything like that. But it's really that you're putting your thoughts and idea in place before you're answering correctly. Sometimes we just like really react and answer things, and maybe they're not aligned to what is really the purpose of that question. So I learned that, and Steve Jobs performed that. He always hold it. And he just stayed there for 18 seconds. 18 seconds, that's, come on. And you're just like over there. And then he answered the question. And today I just want to base on that. I want to base the worship in silence. Because, again, we sometimes think like, oh, I want to react really quick. And I want to worship God with my voice. And I want to scream loud and everything. And I want to sing songs. And that's fine. We can do that. And I don't say that's wrong. But don't also forget that you can worship God in silence. And I think that's going to be one of the main ones and greatest one through the scripture that I want to show you that is going to bless your heart and your mind in silence. Because mainly, God is a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a spirit inside of you. And that's the mainly communication that you have with God. Physically, this flesh, this body, is just singing verbally, and you can listen to sound when I'm speaking, when I'm singing. Well, I'm not a singer, but when people sing, and you can listen to that, and that's an expression out of your body, out of you, and God can listen to that. But what about when you are not doing that in your flesh, but do it from your heart and from your mind? That's the real one that he's looking for. Worshiping from your heart. And when we continue learning about the definition of worship, as you guys know, we already talked about this, it means, it's a compound word, worship, which it means acknowledging or ascribing worth to something or someone. When you're putting that mind and heart, that worth, that it gives you value, that you're putting value towards that, sometimes that means you're worshiping those things. It can be work. It can be money. It can be another person. It can be anything in your life. A car. It can be anything. Because you're putting all your effort and heart and time and you're putting all the value on that. And that means you are acknowledging the value, the worth of that in your life. And sometimes that becomes a worship. And we just need to be careful because God wants to worship just number one, him. And that's kind of the to-do list, task list. This is number one. This is number two. This is number three. And normally when you put that in your list, it's kind of like an order of priorities. And God is your everything in your life. He's the one. Everything that comes after worshiping God, he's the one blessing and controlling everything. He's the one providing and protecting. He's the one doing everything. Not us. And then having that old definition, those concepts, I want to talk about a little bit of silence. And I want to open with Psalm 56. I'm not sure if I put that one over there. If you have your Bible, this is the time to take it out. Psalm 56. And I purposely left the topic or title that the canon, when they approve the Bible and say this is the Bible, they put it over there. Because I want to learn the correlation of the title versus all the scriptures that we're going to read in Psalm 56. And the title is talking about a dove on distant oaks. And there's a different version that it says a silent dove. Dove, thank you. That's my teacher. Thank you. So when that's happened, it's teaching us and we're learning through the scripture that silence that is happening with David. David, it was the author that wrote that psalm. How he used that principle, and that's the blessing that we like to learn today and apply it in our life. And it said in verse 1, be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Praise God for that one. All day long, they tweet my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life because of their wickedness. Do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can men do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. This is King David. He wrote that. But then the title, the relation of that in other versions, it says a silent dove. I'll try. I will continue trying. And then when you see that, it means peace. And it means that it is in a distant right now, waiting for God in silence. Just waiting. And it's really interesting how he finished the scripture when he say, my vows. And today I just want to talk to you about three different things related to that. And number one is going to be noise. How many of you have noise in your life? I know, me too. And correlating that, at work, I was going through the reports and looking at everything, the stock, the inventory. And then when we were planning about the sales orders of our customers versus what we have in stock, we don't have enough in stock. We are short to customer right now. And then we start seeing orders that they're not supposed to be there anymore because we don't need to supply those orders anymore. And then I ask the question, why are we leaving this noise over here? Let's remove this noise. Take it out of your life. I'm talking now spiritually to our hearts and mind and saying why we are allowing noise to happen in our life. Because things happen to you and to me, everyone, and that's noise. And those things that is maybe not related to God, maybe it's not the purpose or will of God in your life, that's creating noise. To try to remove that relationship of God with you. And I want to go through some scriptures. And the scriptures that I want to start with is going to be in Amos 5. Amos 5, 21, 22, 23, and 24. This is a prophet, and it says, I despise your religious festivals. This is God talking to the prophet in that moment. Now, according to the scripture, God is the same. He never changed. In Psalms, it says that. Also, the scripture says in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All the time. There's no change. Now, I can take this right now as of today and say, God is talking to us and say, I hate and despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. When the church becomes religious, we have to be careful. Because then it becomes noise, not purpose, or will of God in our life or the community. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. away we the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. You see what God is telling here? He say, I'm not receiving your burnt offerings. I'm not receiving all the sacrifices that you're doing. Those assemblies that you're doing, those festivals, no. And he say over here, remove that noise out of your song, because the song that they are singing verbally, it doesn't have heart. It doesn't have purpose. It's just songs. And I think that's what he wants. He wants from us our heart, our mind, and say, I worship you in spirit and truth. Because that's what he's seeking, according to the scripture. But at the end, pay attention, because it says 24, but let justice roll on like a river. Oh, now he's talking and say, what is he's looking for? He's looking for justice. He's not just looking a son empty verbally with our heart connected with God in spirit and truth, but he's looking a heart that is looking that justice and righteousness from God through us, so we can do it in here with the church, the real community, the real body. That's why you can see God criticizing here the empty worship. Because he wants to remove the noise. And I think the question that we need to ask ourselves, it is, what is the noise that I have that I need to remove in my life? The noise that is not from God, that is nothing from God, is maybe from the enemy, or maybe it's from you, or maybe it's from someone else, but it's not aligned with God. And that's the noise that we need to take a look and then remove it. Another one that I want to share with you guys is Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, 4. The scripture says over here, listen, a noise on the mountains like that of a great multitude. Listen, an uproar among the kingdoms, like nations messing together. The Lord Almighty is mustering an army for war. So that's noise from God. He knows what he's doing. And he knows the noise that he's going to be creating, but it's for a war. It's to remove anything in your life that you and I, we cannot handle. That is going to be him, not us. The other one that I want to share with you guys is Ezekiel 3, 12. In Ezekiel, he show over here and refer to some movements and divine miracles that he's doing with the people. Ezekiel 3, 12. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound as the glory of the Lord rose from the place where he was standing. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other, and the sound of the wheels beside them. A loud rumbling sound. The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit with the strong hand of the Lord on me. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv, near the Kibar River, and there were they were leaving. I sat among them for 7 days deeply distressed. That's what the sound or noises is creating in our life, putting us in darkness and in distress. So what is the noise that is happening in our life that is not from God? What is the noises that is happening in your work, in your personal life, that we need to identify and remove it? Because those noises are not from God. And the correlation over here is really important. Because if you are listening to noises, then there's no silence in your heart and mind. You are just paying attention. We are just paying attention to the noises. The noises are just creating that in our life. And we're not moving anywhere. We're thinking that physically we're moving, but spiritually you might be not moving. Psalm 65:2, it says, praise awaits, different version, you, or our God, in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. So when we learn and see this scripture, it says, praise awaits. There's no praise happening. It is awaiting. It's waiting for something. So it is kind of like silence. The praising is waiting. So that way you can praise God in that moment. But what is waiting for? The vows. And that's the second point that I want to share with you guys today. Vows. What is the vow that you and I have with God? Because the vows will help you and me to remove the noises. That's what happened in the beginning and all the time. You read the scripture, you read the Bible, you read the whole stories. There's noises happening in those life of the people. David, Saul, Moses, name it, Abraham, everyone. But when they establish that vow with God, the noise went away. Because now you have a connection with God, you have a promise with God, you have a vow with God, and that's your purpose. You're moving accordingly to that. Now, I don't want to sell you a good, beautiful dream, because the enemy will continue trying to bring noise in your life. But it was going to be our responsibility to follow the vow that you already made with God. Habakkuk 2:20. I'm going to start with 19. It says, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake. To the dumb stone, arise. It shall teach, behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the whole earth, that's not just including, it's not just you and me, the whole earth, it means like mountains, animals, everything, everyone out there, keep silence before him, according to the scripture. He's talking to the gods, wood, gold that is being made. You say they don't have anything. They don't have a spirit. They don't have anything. They don't have life. God is the only provider of life. He's the only one. And he say, everyone, all the earth, keep silence because God is in his holy temple. You can talk to the wood. You can talk to the idols. You can talk to those gods made by gold or silver. They're not going to move. They're not going to do anything. Because the only one is God. And he say, all earth, keep silence. Because God, it is in the holy temple. When we acknowledge and know and recognize that he is in the holy temple, that you're putting him over there, we keep silence and we are secure. One of interesting definition that I learned from silence, really interesting, and it is that it is the absence or the presence of nothing. That's silence. Silence is when there's nothing going on, when it's not noise, when it's nothing happening around you or in your heart, in your mind. It's just you with him. And that doesn't mean like I'm in a room just on my knees in a corner with God, praising or just praying to him. It is in our every single seconds of our life. When we get to that level of relationship, of silence, that anyway, when you're driving, you're in that silence, just you and God. Silence. There's nothing else. There's no noise. When you are at work, when you are everywhere in your life, dealing with maybe a parent or someone that is under sickness or health-wise or anything, you're still in silence with Him. Man, getting to that level is amazing. And when we get to the point of being silent with Him, that will help us to understand what He talked to Job in 29:21. It says, "People, listen to me expectantly." God talking to him. "Waiting in silence for my counsel. After I had spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words as the spring rain." What is that telling us? Are we really waiting for him or not? Or sometimes when something happens in our lives, we are just like, I don't know, this is not going the way that I think is correct. You think so, but maybe for him it's a different story. And God will say, "That's the way that I want. I don't know, but that it's going to be painful." His will, His purpose, He knows better. When we get to that level of silence, that gently voice of God in your heart, in your mind, it will be everything for you. And there's a comment from a guy named John Grossman, and he say, "Silence is not just the absence of something, but the presence of everything with God." So having God in your heart and your mind in everything that you're doing, that will give you that silence that we are looking for. Because anything else that is going to happen in our life that is trying to create that noise, it will not touch us. It will not get into our hearts and mind. Because God is everything in you. And God, everything in you will give you that silence. So the scripture also says in Psalm 38, "To you, Lord, I call. To the Lord I cry for mercy. What is gain if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever." So when I learned and grew in the church, always we think like praising and worship is just singing. And nothing against you guys. I love you guys. I love singing. And it says dancing, so we can start dancing to the Lord in celebration. But it's also talking about silence. It's also talking about praising God from silence, from your heart, from that moment. And that's the blessing that we need to continue learning and growing to get to that point and level that is going to help us to worship God in truth and in spirit. Now, talking more about vows, Ecclesiastes 5, it says, verse 1, "Guard your steps. When you go to the house of God, go near to listen, rather to, or than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few." silence. A dream comes when there are many cares, noises. It's too much stuff. That's removing the focus of God. And many words mark the speech of a fool. When you make a vow to God, now here we go, guys, because now God is putting his, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger. My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the works of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. Solomon, the writer. It's amazing. At the end, he just like close it. Just fear God. That's it. Fear God. Don't make a vow if you're not going to fulfill it. But now that you make a vow, because that's going to bring you silence in your heart, fulfill it. The vow, remember the scripture, it is real. And it's going to become real in your life so you can apply it. Otherwise, it's just a paper tint. There's nothing else here. But if it's really spiritual, and then we are listening to the scripture, and then something happened in your life after you're listening or learning from the scripture, that means something. That means God is trying to put you in a place to apply the word that you learn. And that will get you to the level that he wants to transform you. Now, if you are making that vow with him, fulfill it. Because that word that is going to be looking for you, application to you for apply it, if you're not applying it, you're not fulfilling the vow, you're letting the noises going into your heart and your life. Which at the end of the day, that will be removing the focus of you and relationship with your Father God. Remember when Jesus Christ talked about this. Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard that he was say to the people long ago, do not break your oath, a vow, a promise, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, and do not swear by your head. If we are true believers, remember your head is Jesus Christ. He's your leader. For you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Simple. Jesus Christ is so simple, right? He's just like, this is it, and that's it. Go and apply it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That's it. Amen to that. Simple. But if you cannot fulfill it, because you made that vow with God, God is not a liar, according to Scripture, and he will not just change his mind. He's not a human. Maybe you can try with a human and a human will do it. He will change his mind and maybe you can manipulate the human being and twist it a little bit over there, but not God. And you made that vow with him. So that vow, we better fulfill it. So we can keep that silence with him. Okay, finishing here, guys. The last one that I want to share with you guys is silence. And inside of the silence of God, there's a lot of things going on. Because we are living in this world that is so noisy. It's always there. We always have things in the TVs, shows, family, neighbors, everything, guys, you know. How we can survive that? And I want to share with you guys a few scriptures. Number one, Leviticus. Leviticus 10. In this story, we know the brother of Moses, which is Aaron. We have an interesting story about his son, his children doing something that they're not supposed to do because they break that vow with God. And see how Aaron responds to this. 10. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. Unauthorized. They're not supposed to do that. If you know what's supposed to do with God, the vow that you make with him, don't do it. So just do what he tells you to do. So they do, and it says the scripture, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they die before the Lord. Moses then says to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. What he says after that? I'm not going to say anything. God, sorry, I know it's going to be tough, the word, but God just killed his children. And this guy just kept silence. Because he knew the vow that everyone is making with God. I'm not saying that God is going to kill you guys. I'm just saying this is serious. It's a serious deal. God is a spirit. You are a spirit. You're making a vow with him. It's a sacred thing between you and God. And every one of you guys here, including myself, we have a vow with him. Salvation is individual. We know that. You make a vow with God, it's individual. That vow will help you to keep that silent in the moments of trouble, of uncertainty in your life. That vow, we just need to make sure that we fulfill it. Now, when something different happens in your life that is not going accordingly to what you think is correct, then what you think but I made this vow with you, but I think if we go this route, it's going to be better. He say, no, it's going to be through this route. I don't like that one. You make a vow with me. Go through the route that we just talked about. Numbers 30. Numbers 30, verse 14. Hallelujah. But if her husband say nothing to her about it from day to day, then he confirms all her vows or the pledges binding on her. He confirms them by saying nothing to her when he hears about them. If however, he nullifies them sometime after he hears about them, then he must bear the consequences of her wrongdoing. The simple just thing over here is just seriousness. It's just that. It's not in the... It's just, this is serious, guys. It's just that. It's all. He's in heaven. You are here on earth. Your heart is supposed to be with him in silence, believing in him and trusting in him. This is serious. What is the vow that you have with him right now? Hannah make a vow. You guys know the story. In 1 Samuel, She was praying in her heart. And according to Scripture, in verse 13, 1 Samuel, it says that her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. From the heart. Do you truly believe that you can speak from your heart without saying anything? Yeah, right. That's what he's looking, that silence. So that way you can speak from your heart. Because sometimes from the exterior, anyone can do that. Jesus, in your name, I deliver people. In your name, I did miracles. Physical expression. And Jesus Christ says, I don't know you. Because it's from the heart. It's from the mind. That's from everything is developed and formed so we can really worship him truly. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation is of the Lord. That's it. Wait quietly. He will do what he's going to do. Don't worry about that. But we need to make sure that we remove the noises around us. Confirm that vow with him. And just keep silence when something's coming. He will do it anyway. Just doing the 18 second silence right now. Hallelujah. Psalm 39, that's it. This is the last one for sure. Psalm 39. David, again. I say, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remain utterly silent. King David, guys, talking here to God. Not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, Lord, my life and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth, without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I will not open my mouth. For you are the one who has done this. Praise God. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I dwell with you as a foreigner, a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me that I may enjoy life again. Before I depart, I am no more. Hallelujah. It's just keeping that silent moment in your life when he's doing something. Silent before you say something. Think about it. Let your mind and ideas and thoughts organize before you say something. And if it's something related with you and God, just wait in him. Wait on him. He will do it. Because the vow is already set. It's settled between you and him. And he's not a liar. He will do it anyway. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it doesn't. It will be really quick. I don't know. That's him. But let's just wait on him. Trust in him. He will do it anyway. He loves us. Praise God to that. Father God, thank you. We praise you. We worship you. Thank you for the blessing of learning and understanding more about being a worshiper. Not just worship with songs, but worship from our hearts. Serving each other, loving each other, trusting in the vows that we make between you and us. Thank you. Because we know and we trust and we have the confidence, the conviction that you are will do what you promised to us. We remove in the name of Jesus Christ any noise that is causing our life to be in trouble. Maybe noise that we are bringing in our life. So we order in the name of Jesus Christ of all those noises being out of our life. And we receive you. We receive the blessings. We receive the promise. And we will wait patiently in silence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God for that word. If I have permission, I would just like to practice that right now, if that's okay for us to wait in silence before the Lord as we worship. So if you're...